meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar on the Global Amendment to the Base New GTLD Registry Agreement. I'm Nicole Davenport, New GTLD Communications Manager for ICANN. Before we begin, I'd like to cover a few things. The running time of the webinar is 60 minutes. We'll start with a presentation and end with a question and answer session. There are multiple ways to participate. We recommend entering the discussion through the Adobe Connect room and joining the audio conference. Joining this audio conference will allow you to speak and signal that you have something to say by raising your hand. If you choose the listen-only participation mode, please use the Q&A pod in Adobe Connect to ask your questions. We will read your questions aloud to the group. When we call on you to speak or when you ask a question in the Q&A pod, please state your name and affiliation. If you're on the phone lines, please do not use speakerphone and mute your phone when you're not speaking. To mute and unmute, dial *6. As a reminder, this webinar is being recorded. Recordings and supporting materials will be published on the Global Amendment to the Base New GTLD Registry Agreement page of ICANN.org. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Amanda Fessenden, Registry Services and Engagement Manager.
Thanks, Nicole. Hi, everyone. I'd like to thank you for attending today's webinar on the proposed global amendment to the Base New GTLD Registry Agreement. In this presentation, we will review the amendment process, summarize the changes, and review the voting procedures and next steps. We have two panels participating in our webinar today. Members of the Registry Stakeholder Group Working Group, including John Nevitt with Donuts, Susan Payne with Validaeus, and Ruben Skuhl with NIC.br. From ICANN organization, we have Krista Popik, Director of Registry Services and Engagement, Francisco Arias, Director of Technical Services, and Aaron Hickman, Director of GDD Operations. During today's webinar, we will walk through the background of the amendment process, proposed changes to the new GTLD Registry Agreement, the voting process, next steps, where to find additional information, and we will end the webinar with a Q&A session. We'll begin with an overview of the amendment process and its milestones. So the amendment process began in July 2014 when the RYSG notified ICANN and submitted a set of proposed revisions. ICANN and the working group exchanged sets of proposed revisions, which they discussed during a negotiation period. After 18 months of negotiation, ICANN and the working group reached an agreement on the proposed amendments to the registry agreement. On May 31, 2016, the public comment period on the proposed revisions began. The public comment period ended on July 20, 2016, at which point ICANN and the working group reviewed the comments submitted. On August 19, ICANN published a summary of the public comments received. And on December 22, after discussions between ICANN and the working group, ICANN published two updated documents. One, a reissued staff report with analysis of the submitted comments, and two, the proposed global amendment. And that brings us to this week, during which the voting period will begin on February 9th. So next, we'll discuss the proposed changes as they were agreed upon by the working group and ICANN. The global amendment is a set of revisions to the base new GTLD registry agreement agreed upon by ICANN organization and the working group. In the vote that begins February 9th, applicable registry operators will vote to approve or not approve this global amendment. If approved, the global amendment will revise the base new GTLD registry agreement rather than modifying each registry agreement separately. After implementation, all new GTLD contracts will use the new version of the base new GTLD registry agreement. The changes reflected in the global amendment generally clarify responsibilities and update terms based on operational needs, largely focusing on technical corrections and clarifications. You can find an updated summary of changes at the link provided. We've already published the updated summary on the Global Amendment webpage. This shows red lines for any changes made after the public comment period. The next few slides provide a high-level overview of what the proposed changes include. After reviewing the revisions proposed prior to the public comment period, we'll look at what was changed after the public comment period. In Section 2.4, Monthly Reporting, these revisions add flexibility so that when a TLD is delegated in the first half of the month, it can defer reporting until the next month. It also requests that registry operators include domain names used during pre-delegation testing in monthly reporting if the names are not deleted at the time of delegation. In Section 2.9, Registrars, these revisions clarify that ICANN does not approve pricing changes. In Section 4.3, Termination by ICANN, these revisions were made in response to requests by brand TLD operators and clarify ICANN's ability to terminate the registry agreement in certain circumstances. In Section 5.2, Arbitration, these revisions specify how arbitrators will be chosen during arbitration. In Section 6.7, Fee Reduction Waiver, this adds that ICANN may determine to reduce fees payable by a registry operator. Section 7.5F, Change of Control, Assignment, and Subcontracting. This creates a new defined term, Affiliated Assignee, to facilitate registry operator reorganizations without triggering a consent right of ICANN. It also clarifies that the affiliated assignee's assumption of the obligations under the registry agreement must be made in writing. In Exhibit A, Approved Services, the revisions add clarity in ICANN's current practice of describing DNS service in existing Exhibit A's and DNS classes permissible. The revisions added clarifications to Specification 2, Data Escrow Requirements. In Specification 3, the revisions clarify fields in Transaction and Activity Reports. In Specification 4.2.1.5, Use of Data by User, the proposed revisions reflect harmonization of provisions within the CZDS Terms of Service. Clarifications were added to Specification 6, Registry Interoperability and Continuity Specifications. The proposed revision shown here with strikethrough was an original proposed revision to Specification 6.1.4, but was later removed as indicated by the strikethrough. In Specification 7, Section 1, Rights Protection Mechanisms, the revision clarifies that a registry operator must enter into a registry-registrar agreement with at least one ICANN-accredited registrar, and defines the timing. Revisions to Specification 13 include adding that global amendments cannot amend Specification 13 unless approved by .brand TLD registry operators. After the public comment period, ICANN and the working group considered comments and incorporated certain revisions. These included removing the address within the preamble for operational efficiency, specifying in Section 4.3e that some Specification 11s contain additional sections relating to termination of the registry agreement, removing upon delegation of the TLD into the root zone in Specification 5, Section 3.4, removing text as a typographical correction in Specification 6.1.4, revising text for consistency in Specification 13, Section 9.1, and a revision to clarify the meaning of applicable brand registry agreement in Specification 13, Section 11. Next, we'll discuss the guidelines and procedures for the upcoming vote on the Global Amendment. The 60-day voting period will begin at 2359 UTC on Thursday, February 9th, 2017, and end at 2359 UTC on Monday, April 10th, 2017. We'd like to point out that the starting time in the webinar announcement email incorrectly stated that voting begins at 0:00 UTC. Instead, please note that it begins at 2359 UTC. To administer this vote, ICANN is using a third-party vendor, BigPulse. This is the same voting system used for the annual registrar fee vote. At the end of the voting period, ICANN organization will utilize an independent third party to review the results reported by Big Pulse. This verification may include contacting registry primary contacts selected at random to confirm how they voted. The third bullet point gives you the exact language from the registry agreement pertaining to voter eligibility. Eligible voters are registry operators of top-level domains, party to a registry agreement that contains a provision similar to this Section 7.6, including registry operator. Therefore, if your registry agreement contains the applicable provision, you are eligible to vote. In order for the global amendment to be approved, it must be submitted to and receive approval from applicable registry operators and the ICANN Board of Directors. To reach applicable registry operator approval, voting results must meet both of the following thresholds. Approval from the applicable registry operators, whose payments to ICANN in the immediately preceding calendar year accounted for two-thirds of the total amount of fees paid, and approval from the majority of the applicable registry operators. This brings us to the voting process. There are four steps in order to participate in the vote and one optional step. The first step, access the voting system. Registry operators will receive an email from Big Pulse, which will provide a link by which they can access the voting system. In step two, registry operators will go to the web page in Big Pulse and will be prompted to accept the transparency terms. In step three, this is the voting. Registry operators will have the choice to vote to approve or not approve the global amendment. In step four, the registry primary contact will receive a vote confirmation email. And step five is an optional step in the event you voted incorrectly or would like to change your vote. Step one, access the voting system. In this step, registry primary contacts receive an email from Big Pulse. This email includes a sign-in link, as noted on the slide. Click on the link to start the voting process. Please note that anyone with this link can vote, so registry primary contacts should not share this link. Step two, accept the transparency terms. This is how the webpage will appear once you access Big Pulse. You must accept the transparency terms in order to proceed. If you click I do not accept, you will not be able to move forward. Step three is to vote. This is how the webpage will look after you accept the transparency terms. Please follow the instructions listed on the webpage. In order to approve, check the box. If you do not wish to approve, do not check the box. Next, enter your full name in the text box below. This is required in order to submit your vote. In step three, click Submit or Update Vote button at the bottom of this page. Once you submit your vote, the registry primary contact will receive a confirmation email from Big Pulse. As you can see in the second bullet point, the text after the bullet point there shows your approval vote. If you do not approve the global amendment, this section will appear blank. In our fourth bullet point on the slideshow, the section after your response shows the voter's full name as entered by the voter. Step five is an optional step. In this step, you can change your vote once, but only once. You can do so by clicking on the personal sign-in link provided within the email from Big Pulse. In order to resubmit a vote, follow the steps listed on the webpage. For example, if you have already voted to approve, you would uncheck the box and then click Submit or Update Vote. If you have already voted to not approve, check the box and then click Submit or Update Vote. So now we'll move on to next steps. As we've discussed, the voting period for applicable registry operators is February 9th and ends April 10th, 2017. At the end of the voting period, in April, an independent third party will review the results reported by Big Pulse. At the same time, If the vote is approved by registry operators, ICANN will submit the global amendment for ICANN board approval. This is expected in May. Also in May, if approved by the ICANN board, ICANN will provide legal notice of board approval to registry operators. 60 days after that notice, in July or August 2017, the global amendment would become effective. The next slide provides links to all publishing supporting documentation and communications related to the global amendment. You'll note the first link is ICANN's webpage for the global amendment to the base new GTLD registry agreement. From this webpage, you can access most documentation and communications relating to this vote. In addition to these links, we will post an FAQ document, including questions from today's webinar, on the global amendment webpage. That brings us to questions and answers.
Thanks, Amanda. Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you can go ahead and raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room, and we'll put you through. Otherwise, we can begin with a few questions that we've received in the Q&A pod. The first question comes from Reg Levy of MMX. Question for John. When reviewing the public comments to the registry changes, were there any arguments that you found to be at all convincing against approving the revisions? If so, what were they?
Thanks, Reg. No is the short answer. There were some tweaks that we made as a group based on public comments, clarifications. A couple of people pointed out unintended consequences of a couple of the provision proposals in the languages, so that was cleared up. But overall, no, there was no public outcry about any of the amendments that were part of this process. And, you know, while I have the floor, I just want to thank everyone on this call and everyone who worked for the last 30 months on this set of amendments. It's been a long process, but it's good that we have this process and we could trigger it regularly if we want to do other changes that we didn't deal with this round or something like that. But it was a lot of effort, and thanks to everyone who worked on it.
Okay, we'll move on to the next question. This one comes from Christina Rosette from Amazon Registry. Is there a time by which the registry operator should expect to have received the Big Pulse email so that we know if our internal firewalls or filters may have blocked the email?
Hi, Christina. This is Amanda. Thanks for your question. The emails from Big Pulse will be sent to voters at the same time the vote opens. So you could give yourself roughly 15 minutes if you don't receive the email to start checking your internal firewalls or filters. And upon submission of a vote, the email should be sent within almost immediately in the next couple of minutes after the vote.
The next question comes from Jim Pendergrast. What is the earliest a registry operator can take advantage of the new provisions of the amended contract? For example, how soon can one seek a change of assignment under the new criteria? Thank you.
Hi, this is Amanda again. As specified in Section 7.7C of the RA, the amendment will become effective 60 days after ICANN provides registry operators notice of the amendment obtaining the approval of the board and the applicable registry operators.
The next question comes from Reg Levy of MMX. Question for ICANN. Will the registry operators for multiple registries need to vote multiple times?
Hi, Reg. Thanks for your question. The answer is yes. If you have multiple eligible registry agreements, you'll need to vote separately for each one of those.
Maxim Alzoba from FITED asks, when could we expect paper copies of the new registry agreement sent to us? It is a requirement under our accounting practice and anti-laundering legislative acts.
Hi, Maxine. It's Krista Pepik with ICANN Organization. Thank you for the question. We weren't intending to send paper copies, but however, if you do have special requirements, if you can just submit that request through the portal, we can get you what you need. I hope that helps. Thanks.
Michael Fleming asks, when this amendment becomes applicable, will we be required to sign the new amendment?
Sorry, we're going to go ahead and we'll have ICANN Legal answer this one.
We took the question from Michael Fleming, number 9. When this amendment becomes applicable, will we be required to sign the new amendment? I think this sounds like a sort of an operational question. Will be, yes. Christy, you want to talk?
Thanks, Dan. The answer to the question, Michael, is no. The amendments are effective when the necessary votes are obtained. And after ICANN sends its legal notification with the 60-day implementation timeline. So the short answer is no, no signatures are required. The next question is from Maxine. Is it possible to send us the email address from which we need to expect the message from Big Pulse so we set up our email whitelists in advance to prevent loss of this email? Thanks, Maxine. It's Krista again. Yes, we'll be providing that. There's going to be an FAQ that we'll be publishing before the vote opens. It should be published later today. On the global amendment later today, Los Angeles time, that is. It'll be posted on the global amendment page that we've set up. And in the FAQ, it provides the information for whitelisting and gives some sort of tips and tricks, if you will, as to how you can troubleshoot if you haven't received the voting emails. The next question comes from Christina Rosette. We are updating some of our registry primary contacts to reflect some internal transfers and new hires. What is the date and time by which we need to have those updates submitted so that the, quote, new registry primary contact is the voter?
This is Aaron from ICANN Organization. Christina, thanks for the question. We are going to be doing a pull from the system about 24 hours prior to the vote. That will give us time to do all of our QA processing and so forth. So if you could get those updated as soon as possible, that would be great. Thank you.
The next question is from Lillian Fosteris. Does the registry primary contact have to vote, or can another representative for the registry operator submit the vote? Hi, all. This is just a reminder to please put your phones on mute when you're not speaking. Dial *6 to mute and unmute. Thanks for the question. Thanks for the question, Lillian. This is Krista Pepik. So we really want the registry primary contact to cast the vote, since that's the person who's been appointed by the registry operator to do that. There's nothing we can do to prohibit you from forwarding the link, but it is sort of a security concern and something we, you know, prefer for people not to do. But there's nothing, you know, we can do to prevent you from forwarding your emails or
you know, doing something other than that. But we do strongly encourage people to please have the registry primary do the voting. Thank you.
The next question is again from Maxine. Is it possible to publish or send a legal notice of, quote, the new effective date of the amended RA is X or blank, so we will be able to use it for formal purposes? Or is it going to be in the text of the amended RA or in the text of the RA amendment?
Hi. Yes, we will send a legal notice with the new effective date of the amended RA, listing that and providing notice to all registry operators of that date.
So I see a question in the chat from Michael Fleming, and just a reminder, if you wouldn't mind adding your questions to the Q&A pod, that would help us out. The chat pod is really intended for you to be able to communicate with one another. Michael asks whether this should be sent to the RPC or the legal contact.
Hi, Michael. It's Krista Papik. So the way that we have the contact set up is the registry primary contact, or the RPC, as we all like to use our acronyms here at ICANN, is really the person that's identified to act on behalf of the registry, whether it's submitting requests for transactional work or, you know, submitting questions through the portal, et cetera. So that's why we're using the registry primary contact as the actual voter. The legal notifications that get sent out include the legal notices contact, but the actual voting should be performed by the registry primary contact. Thank you.
The next question is from Jeff Newman. Will ICANN post a list of how much each registry pays ICANN such that it can be determined whether the affirmative vote constitutes two-thirds of the fees paid to ICANN?
Thanks, Jeff. Hello. It's Krista Papik again. I hope you guys aren't getting sick of my voice. What we're going to publish is a list of the eligible registries, or the applicable registry operators, that's those registries that are eligible to vote. We will publish what the total fees were that count for this vote, which is fees paid in 2016. And then on a biweekly basis, we're going to publish the progress towards achieving the two-thirds of fees, as well as the progress of achieving the second threshold, which is the majority of eligible voting registry operators. So I hope that answers your question. We will not publish each individual registry fees, and we're not going to publish how a registry votes. Thank you.
This question is from Eric. What checks are in place to make sure the right entities are voting? Based on the demo, it seems that if anyone has the link, they could vote. Did I misunderstand the process?
This is Aaron Hickman from ICANN.org. Thanks for the question, Eric. As Krista mentioned earlier, we are sending the email to the registry primary contact, who is the person designated to act on behalf of the registry operator. If that address is wrong for any reason, you would actually be having all kinds of operational concerns. So we're pretty confident that those work. We'll be tracking any sort of situation where the emails bounce back and making sure we do outreach to take care of any folks who might not get that message. If anyone has any trouble, you can always contact our global support center, and we can facilitate making sure you either get a resend of an email or change and update a registry primary contact information.
Thanks, Aaron. It's Krista Papik. I just wanted to add a couple of more data points to address this question. So additionally, and as you'll see if you go download the slides, we are requesting folks to attest that they are the the primary contact and the person that's eligible to vote. We're asking them to put their name in there. And then we will be using a third party to review and audit the vote itself to make sure that, you know, we can sort of solidify, it's not just ICANN solidifying the vote was legitimate, but also this third party. Thank you.
Karen Day asks, am I correct in my understanding that we will only be given the amendment to attach to the RA, not a restated full registry amendment?
Hi, Karen. It's Krista Papik again. Yes, you are correct in your understanding that you'll be given the amendment to attach to the RA and not a restated full RA.
Stephanie Duchesneau from Google asks, please confirm that only one vote will be required per registry operator, and we will not be required to vote on a per TLD basis.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Amanda. Thanks for the question. No, actually, the vote is based on eligible registry agreements. So if you have multiple TLDs that are eligible to vote, you'll need to vote separately for each TLD.
Maxime asks, is it possible to send us a carbon copy of a voting token to ensure that the primary contact received it?
Hi, Maxime. Thanks for the question. This is Aaron Hickman again from ICANN.org. We don't actually have access to the direct emails. BigPulse actually is secured in that way, so it sends it out directly from the system. We can always do a resend. And we will be tracking via the Big Pulse system anyone who has a bounce back. Other folks have mentioned, the email will come out immediately at the start of the vote. So if you haven't received it within, say, 15 minutes or so, please, again, contact our Global Support Center via the portal, and we can make sure that gets corrected or resent.
Maxime, I see that you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Maxim Alzober for the record. Actually, as I see, the Big Pulse is not going to send us encrypted emails. So any Unix administrator between their system and our is capable of receiving the copy of our email and voting if he is pleased to do so. So I suggest you just think about security a bit more, like maybe you use some PGP keys from CZDS system, which we gave, or to some other system, so only the registry actually receives the full token, and not all Unix administrators and all hackers between our systems. Thanks.
Maxime, it's Krista. Thank you for the additional clarification. One thing I forgot to mention earlier, when Aaron and I were discussing the different checks and balances that are in place to ensure the right people are voting, is that once a vote is cast, the registry primary contact for whose email we have will get a confirmation email saying that that their vote's been cast and what the vote was. And again, there's some screenshots in the slides to kind of show you what you should be looking for in that confirmation email. So if you do get something like that, if any of you or any registry has that experience, they should contact us right away so that we can figure out what happened. Thank you.
Maxim, also just a small clarification. It's only one change of the voting allowed. So if we see that someone voted for us, for example, we wanted to say yes, and they wanted to say no, and we can change it once, and I'm not sure that it's enough.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Maxime. I'm happy to talk to you about that offline, and if you have a problem, we can certainly figure it out. Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Fleming. So if it isn't the primary contact that is listed in the vote, then will it not be counted?
Hi, Michael. It's Krista Papik again. As I said before, we really want the registry primary contact to vote. I strongly encourage all of you to please do that. If your primary is not correct, please contact us through the portal and we'll update the registry primary contact for you. And as far as whether we'll count it or not, let us take that offline. We're really planning for all of you to have your registry primary contact vote. And not somebody else. So let us think about that question, and we can update the frequently asked questions, the FAQ that we'll be publishing with that question. But I hate to sound like a broken record, but please have your registered primary vote. Thank you.
The next question is from Sean Lee. Hi, Jennifer. I'm Sean Lee from Taiwan. I'm not sure this is a question, so we'll move on to the next one. Samantha Demetru, will Big Pulse be sending separate emails in the case a single registry operator operates multiple TLDs?
Hi, Samantha. This is Amanda. Yes, Big Pulse will be sending separate emails in the case where a single registry operator operates multiple TLDs. So if you have 10 eligible TLDs that you need to vote on, then you'll receive 10 separate emails.
Stephanie Doshino from Google asks, to follow up on Karen's question, is there a reason why ICANN is not providing a restated version? This has been requested at several points across the process and would save efficiency and provide clarity by having ICANN do so once, even if only the base template agreement on the registry agreement page was restated.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's Krista Papik. So we will be posting a restated base agreement template, which will be published on the registry agreement page. We're not restating all 1,241 contracts. Actually, I think it's 1,245 because we have some legacies that are also on this. I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding from my legal department is the way that the amendment is sort of works and the way that the agreement works is it is intended to have an amendment to the contract rather than a restated agreement. Thank you.
Cecilia Smith asks, other than an email notification to the primary contact, will there be any other ways to contact or remind the registry operator if many do not respond? An example of this might be being engagement managers, associations, back-end providers, etc.
Hi, this is Aaron Hickman from ICANN.org again. Thanks for the question. We're going to be sending a series of reminders throughout the process to make sure that people who haven't voted get a second and third and possibly even a fourth reminder. I don't think we've set the specific timing yet, but we're probably thinking somewhere in the middle of the vote, about 30 days in, probably about 7 days before the end, and then maybe another one the last day before the vote ends, just to make sure people have visibility to which ones they have or have not voted for and things like that.
Maxim asks, is it possible to open a GD case per TLD with subject, please vote, and I can't read that word, including Big Pulse URL?
Hi, Maxime. It's Krista. So the process that's been set up is that, and some of it's contractually required and some of it is the operational bit. You'll get a legal notice that the vote's going to open. You'll get an email from the vote the voting software, Big Pulse, saying, please go vote. And here's your link, and only your registry primary should vote. So it has the same effect as opening a case. I'm not sure, and maybe you want to explain, I'm not sure how opening a case in the portal, I'm not sure how that makes it much different. Maybe we're not understanding what you're looking for. So if you'd like to further clarify, but effectually you're going to get, the portal will send you an email if we did it that way saying, please go vote. Instead the voting software is sending you an email saying, please go vote.
It's Maxime Zoba. Just more clarification. If you open a case inside of GVD portal, it will resolve issues with security because only the primary contact has access to GVD cases. That's it. It's not about sending emails. It's not that complex. You just write a script which creates a case per TLD, and the secret URL from Big Pulse is included there. So maybe they provide it to you. So we do not send unsecure email all over the Internet to all the registries. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Maxime, for clarifying. That makes sense. So maybe you and I can take this offline and talk about your concerns and see if there's something we can do to address that. Thank you. Susan Payne from Validia. So I think you had your hand up. If you'd like to speak, please go ahead. Otherwise, I can read your question aloud.
Sure. Yeah, I can ask it in person. It was just whether when you're sending these reminders to registry operators to remind them to vote, will you have a way to pass that so that if a registry operator's got 10 and they've voted on 9, but they've accidentally missed one, will they just get a reminder for the one that they haven't voted on? Or will they just get generic reminders that don't actually help them if they think that they've voted for 10, but actually they've missed one?
Hi, Susan. It's Aaron again. Yes, we will not send reminders to people who have voted already. The system is smart enough to know who voted and who didn't, so the only reminders will go to folks who have not voted.
Reg Levy asks, will the Big Pulse email indicate which TLD the link is good for registry operator tracking?
Hi again, Reg. It's Amanda. Yes, the Big Pulse email will indicate which TLD that link is good for, so you can track it easier. And Reg, just to add to that, the confirmation email you receive after voting will also include that TLD.
The next question is from Michael Fleming. Can you provide phone calls as reminders, or is that not very effective?
Hi, Michael. It's Krista Papik. We weren't planning on phone call reminders. We are dealing with 1,245 TLDs that need to vote. The email reminders we thought were sufficient. If that's I see someone typing in the chat, no phone calls, please. We didn't know people really wanted to hear from us that often. We weren't planning on that. If you have a specific issue, maybe that's something we can talk about offline, but it seems like the email reminders would be sufficient in general, and if, again, there's some special needs or special problems, we can certainly think about it. But, it seems like it's kind of on the onus of the registry operator to come in and cast their vote, and they're getting never mind. I see the chat. I'll stop talking. Thanks.
We have about 15 minutes remaining. If anyone has questions, please go ahead and raise your hand or send them in through the Q&A pod. At this point, we have no more questions.
Okay, this is Amanda again. At this point, we'd like to see if the working group would like to add anything to the end of our webinar here before we wrap it up.
Susan Payne, go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Just really brief words. One, I wanted to echo what John had said, which was,
Susan, I think we lost you. All right. Doesn't look like there are any more questions or hands raised. Unfortunately, we lost Susan. So we'll go ahead and wrap up the webinar. Thank you very much for your time today. I'm sorry, it looks like there might be one more question. Susan, if you'd like to type something in the chat, I could read it for you. Apologies, in the Q&A pod, that is. Okay, we have a question from Christina Rosette. One last question. Will the slides and recording and transcripts be posted today? Christina, I can go ahead and answer that for you. Actually, before we leave, I will give you guys the link to download. You can actually download it from the Adobe Connect room. So we'll do that after, once we wrap up. Hey, Christina, it's Krista. Just to add to that, to Nicole's point, you can download the information from here. But the slides are also posted on the Global Amendment page. They got posted somewhere overnight so that you guys could download them whenever you're ready. Thank you. And the recording and transcript will be posted there today as well. Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I'm going to make the slides available for you for download. If you look in the files pod at the lower left of the screen, you can download directly. Thanks, everyone.